The commercial cloud versus private cloud debate is starting to turn in favor of the commercial cloud. Roger Baker is Chief Strategy Officer at Agilex and former Chief Information Officer at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And he writes, commercial clouds can be more secure because that's the business they're in. Roger, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. What do you believe the common misconceptions are in this debate on commercial versus private cloud? Thanks for coming on, Roger.
Thanks, Russ. It's great to be here. Yeah, as you look at commercial cloud, what you find is a strong adherence to very standard configurations and automatic build of very standard configurations. And when you contrast that to one of the main issues that I found in FISMA audits of data centers in the federal government was they typically reported configuration management and patch management issues. And so one of the things that commercial clouds are doing to keep costs down is automating everything and getting very, very rigorous. I frequently say that commercial clouds are like the old thing about Henry Ford, with the Model T. You
Yep.
can have it any color as long as you want it black. And by holding to that rigor, there's a very beneficial effect on security for commercial clouds as well. When you combine that with it's their business and they're betting their entire business on being able to secure things like banking information and some of the things that are going on in the cloud right now, they're just driven to have better security, frankly, than most federal data centers.
You're writing about this in NextGov, and we have a link to your piece at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Private cloud providers could do all that stuff too, I imagine. They could automate all those processes. What is it about? Is it just that business incentive that is driving commercial providers to do it more aggressively, it sounds like you think, than the private providers are doing it?
Yeah, so there's the competitive nature of the commercial cloud. These folks have lowered prices like 32 times in the last 3 years, just driving against each other in the commercial world. And a lot of that they do through efficiency, and so that's the automated side of the thing. The other piece is that they're strongly driven to say no. One of the real things that hamstring federal data centers is they're handed systems that they have to run. And so there's really not a lot of standardization. Nobody focuses in on you're always going to run version 8.1 of this operating system and everybody's going to upgrade together. And so there's so much variation that you can't have a small, compact, easy to defend configuration. You've got tons of very, very different configurations, and that makes it very, very difficult to defend all of them. If you think about it, the attack surface is very large in that instance versus in the commercial cloud. Everything is oriented around, I want it small, I want it fast, and I want it to be able to be run very efficiently.
I seem to remember a conversation that you and I had when you were at VA, and I don't remember if it was on the radio or off, but I asked you about, and again, I don't remember if it was Vista, Microsoft XP to Vista or Vista to 7 or which of those transitions it was. But the conversation that you and I had revolved around that very thing. And I asked you, are you going to move from this one to that one, whichever it was? And your response essentially was, well, which version of this one to which version of that one? And we went into that same kind of dialogue that you and I, that you just went through a moment ago.
Yeah, and that's actually a fairly good example. Look about large federal agencies, how long it took them to go from Windows XP to Windows 7. You brought up the VA as an example. I know that one well. IRS is another example of that. And if you think about it, if you're a commercial cloud vendor and you've got to stay competitive with the other commercial cloud vendors, you can't afford to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to stay right at the forefront. You've got to make certain that you're running the most efficient stuff, that you're making the best products available. You've got the best and latest hardware because you're competing based on that. And that then provides a substantial security advantage for the commercial cloud vendors. If the data center owners that I'd had in government had gotten all of the brand new hardware and all the brand new software and all the control over configuration that they wanted, they probably would have had much more secure data centers. But the fact is the government doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the differentiation here. The competitive nature of what commercial cloud vendors have to go through drives them to efficiency and security they're basically betting their business on those two things.
You know, it's interesting you point that out, because my thought is that there are probably two reasons that those kinds of updates don't happen in government. Number one is probably that who can afford to do it? I mean, how can you afford those refresh cycles? And it strikes me that that goes to the argument then, when we first started talking about cloud in this community, what, 5-6 years ago, and some of these benefits were pointed out, the issue was, well, I don't want to pay. If I go build a data center, then I own it, and I don't have to pay for it on an ongoing basis. I don't have to buy by the drink, because I've got it, and I can make it do whatever I want it to do. But one of the things you can't make it do is you can't make it stay up to date, and that could I imagine you could make a pretty strong argument that there is a lot of value for being able to have access to technology staying updated at the degree that you're arguing that it is updated, Roger. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, it is. It's the total cost of ownership argument. Yeah. You know, you've got to factor in the whole lifetime cost of supporting an application. And, you know, I absolutely agree with you that that 6 years ago, we were down that path. One of the things I love about being the chief strategy officer here is that part of my job is to look out and see where these things are going. And that's where I came across this thought pattern of, you know, not only are they more efficient from a cost standpoint, and that's been the argument for a while, is commercial cloud is going to be more cost effective than federal data centers. But what used to be an argument against commercial cloud actually today should be an argument for commercial cloud. They're more secure. Commercial cloud today is more secure than most federal data centers. Not all. I don't want to get anywhere into the absolutes on this. But if you look at the FISMA reports on most federal data centers, what you will find is that they don't stand up to the same scrutiny that the commercial cloud vendors do today. You got no better example than C2S, the intelligence cloud. You know, it's built on the absolute standard cloud technology from the vendor that provided it to the intelligence community. The main difference it has is the guys protecting it have bigger guns than the guys protecting the other data centers.
The idea that the intelligence community and now DOD would so definitively and publicly move to the cloud, I would think should be kind of a landmark if we look back in 10 years and try to track cloud movement, cloud deployment in the federal government. Those should be big landmarks, don't you think?
Yeah, they are signal events. If commercial cloud technologies can be secure enough for the intelligence community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody out there has to question whether or not their perceptions relative to the security are old, are outdated. Because they've done a lot, that the intelligence community clearly has done a lot of work to satisfy themselves that they can do what they do in that commercial technology arena. And that's got to tell us something.
In this piece in NextGov, you list 6 key aspects of commercial cloud offerings that drive this high level of security that you write about. I want to talk about those in a minute, but I want to ask you about a number and make sure that it's not a typo. You write about the commercial cloud providers. Their security posture already far surpasses that of most of the 6,000-plus legacy federal data centers. I thought we were in the 3,000 range, Roger.
Well, when I went online and looked it up, it was well over 6,000, and I thought it was approaching 7,000. They update the number all the time.
It seems to get bigger and not smaller, doesn't it?
Well, you know, when you look at what a data center really is, I mean, in my view, any server, by itself defines a data center. So if you've got a server running in your closet, then you pretty much have to claim that you're running a quasi data center.
Mm-hmm.
And from that standpoint, then I'm sure the number is way over 6,000. But the recognizable ones, you know, the standard definition is, you know, air conditioned, raised floor, conditioned power. 6,000 plus, I think, is the number. And I looked online to find the latest number when I was writing this, from OMB.
Well, I don't mean to pick on you for that number. It just jumped out at me because of what my perception was, given the last time that we talked about this, especially the last time that Congress asked some questions about it. I mentioned 6 key aspects of commercial cloud offerings that you write about. Are there any of these six that you detail here, and you can find a link to read them at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, that maybe stand out to you more than others or have a bigger impact than others or anything like that, Roger?
Well, I think the second one, you know, really, the system configurations are standardized and automatically created to eliminate variance. You know, if you think about the commercial cloud, as a computer scientist, I think about it as completely changing the paradigm of the way that you do computer architecture. When I was trained, you had to think about how do I optimize and get the most out of this individual server that I have. The commercial cloud is, in effect, an infinite series of disposable processors. And so when I want a new processor, I stand up a new processor, I do whatever I'm doing on it, and then I throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I stand it up, I've got a clean, pristine, uncorrupted version of this. Many organizations, if you look at what Netflix does, they actually are standing up thousands of servers every day, doing whatever they do, and throwing them away, specifically for the purpose of making certain that they're not getting corrupted by anything that might be attacking them. It's a very, very powerful way and a very, very powerful change in the way that you look at doing business and doing security. And it's just completely different from, you know, the old, I've got 10 servers and I patch them as often as I can. You know, if you look at what a Netflix does, every time they make a change to the software, they throw away the old server and build a new one.
So we didn't anticipate that coming down the pike when we first started talking about cloud a half decade or 6 years ago or whatever. We saw this trend developing over the last couple of years. You talked about trying to look forward and anticipate. What do you look forward to and anticipate in cloud that your peers that are still in government should be thinking about and planning for 2016 and 2018 and so on?
Well, my theme these days is that cloud is not a strategy change. Cloud is a culture change. Cloud is changing the entire way that your IT organization thinks about creating and supporting the technology that supports the business. It requires an entire shift, you know, to things like Agile, things like DevOps, and some of the things that you see the most advanced commercial companies out there using. What's interesting is to look at whole new companies that are being stood up on the commercial cloud where they never have any infrastructure of their own. Their belief is that infrastructure is not what they do well, and so that's not what they're going to do. They do the application, they do the business process well, and so they're going to leave infrastructure to somebody who does that well and completely virtualize and outsource it. That's where we're headed. Government will head there more slowly, but you can see in the commercial world exactly where we're headed. Infrastructure becomes like power. Why would I run my own electricity plant these days?
Does this become maybe a little quicker in government as, number one, more CIOs and other IT leaders come into the government from the private sector, and two, as some of the government-grown CIOs who are younger and more immersed in this, kind of like the digital native concept, become decision-makers at agencies?
You know, what I'm seeing actually is that you can track the leaders in federal IT, and there's actually a mix of people. There are folks that came in from the private sector in the not too far distant past, and they're driving it. But there are also folks that have been in government for 25 to 30 years that have grasped this and are also driving it in their agency. So I think it's a matter of understanding the impact that cloud can have on your ability to deliver services better, and really grasping that as what you want to do from an IT perspective. And from my view, I've seen both the new dogs and the old dogs grasp that.